Wish we had that earlier.
Oh, this email?
About three years?
Yes, I agree.
$8 million worth or something?
I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this morning and ask that you stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jeff, you all set?
Thanks, sir.
Cindy, you want to start things off, please? CEGIS system, I think it is, isn't it? Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like Quisenberry said, we can hide our own Easter eggs at this point.
Well, first want to thank you for inviting us here this morning to talk about this important project. I've brought a few guests. I'd first like to introduce Judge Mark Wall, Middletown Municipal Court Judge. I'm sure you all know the Honorable Judge. He has with him Steve Longworthy. He serves as a bailiff and a technical expert in Middletown Municipal Court. And this is Steve sitting down now.
Sure, when needed.
Yeah.
I have Jeff Wyrick from my office, who is Information Systems Director, and he has been working to coordinate the CEGIS project in Butler County. We wanted to just bring you up to date to where we were. We're beginning with the introduction to the project. The Montgomery County Criminal Justice Information Systems began several years ago as a means to combat jail overcrowding and to track domestic violence protection orders. This was accomplished by creating a single web portal that would collect information from the various court case management systems throughout the county. The project goals include increase safety to the community, provide alerts to social service agencies to new criminal activity and cases filed against a group of tracked individuals, such as foster parents, assist in early identification of violence-prone situations in order to prevent violence from occurring, mitigate risks to investigating law enforcement officers in a violence-prone situation, break the cycle of repeat offenses and victims becoming perpetrators, improve the capabilities of the judicial system as regards case preparation and prosecution, provide information to social service agencies to improve their ability to handle or react to family violence cases, and that benefits Children's Services Bureau. Next, we're going to talk about Butler County's involvement. Butler County officials found themselves in a situation similar to Montgomery County. Our various courts and law enforcement agencies have different software vendors. The systems and databases do not share information. A judge in one jurisdiction in our county may not be aware of an individual's interaction with other jurisdictions. And we've given you a list to show our different court agencies and the software vendor that supports that agency. And we're all across the board. We have a wide variety of vendors. So in joining with the Montgomery County system, we'll be able to search across those platforms and get information on one individual if that individual had appeared in various courts. We began with some project assumptions. Montgomery County generously is lending us their infrastructure, which I believe Oracle database that cost that county about $5 million. We are also responsible for a few tasks. We understand we're going to be one of several Ohio counties being added to CEGIS at the same time. Our software vendors will need to develop data extract programs, and our court information system staff will need to be available for implementation, testing, and code verification, because once our data gets into this regional database, we want to verify that it's accurate. Our current status in Butler County is that my office, the Clerk of Court's office, and Fairfield Municipal Court are successfully integrated into the CEGIS project. The reason that was so simple is because our vendor is Maximus, and they'd already mapped out an extraction program for Maximus. So we went first, and right now, Children's Services Agencies and Job and Family Services Daycare Department are searching in the database, and they found that even just having those two courts has been very useful in screening foster parents and daycare providers. Hamilton Municipal Court and the area courts are in the middle of their conversion processes and will be completed shortly with their respective vendors. I have assisted in funding every time someone stops and says, well, now we've got to put the project on hold. We need $2,000 or $4,000 for conversion costs or whatever. We've been able to pay for that out of our computerization fund, and then that just has kept this project moving forward. We're at the point in time where we're looking at Middletown Court to provide data. And they internally have identified some technological obstacles. They are in the midst of a major computer hardware and software upgrade. Their vendor submitted a quote in the amount of $137,703. And we identified an additional expense of $2,250 to extract their data into the CGIS project. As a clerk of courts and in conjunction with the CGIS project, I would like to declare excess of funds of $220,000 from my title division fund to be designated for this project. Those are funds that we earn from processing passports. And the passport business has been a very lucrative business this year, and I do believe that I have an extra $20,000 to declare excess. And I'm asking that the commissioners consider matching that so that we can move forward in the CGIS project. There are some justifications for this request. For the first time, the information from the Middletown Municipal Court will be readily available to law enforcement and social service agencies throughout the county. At the completion of the project, the information from all of our courts in Butler County will be accessible from one place at one internet site. Law enforcement and social service agencies will gain instant access to regional information that has been provided by over 30 criminal justice agencies in Butler, Dark, Greene, Miami, Montgomery, Preble, Warren, and Claremont counties. So it's really a very large project, and we're a small piece of it. And we look forward to seeing the benefits from this project. At this time, I'd like to invite Judge Mark Wall to tell you about what's going on in the project from his perspective in Middletown Municipal Court.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. We're in the process of upgrading our system. Matter of fact, we were Steve and Bud Ross and I were down here a couple weeks ago to look at the system in Hamilton Municipal Court with CMI. And what this will allow us to do, if you make this appropriation today, along with the generous money offered by our clerk of court, Cindy Carpenter, who's really spearheaded this effort, will allow us to start this immediately rather than delaying it possibly for another year. The total cost of the project is going to be somewhere for us in the neighborhood of $140,000 to $180,000. And we've been building up the funds to get that accomplished quickly. One of the things about our court is that part of my jurisdiction also sits in Warren County. And I'd just like to say on behalf of the 75,000-plus residents of Middletown, Trenton, Madison, and Lemon Township serviced by our court, we're looking forward to having this information because knowledge is power, and this sure will help us tremendously in the services provided by our court to these residents. And so we'd like for, hopefully, you make this appropriation. And I really want to give a hats off to Cindy because she's really driven this, and it's really a big benefit for all of the residents of Butler County, and particularly all the residents of our court as well. Anyone have any questions?
I don't think I have any at this time, Judge. Do you have anything?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate your being here.
I'd like to just do a quick demo for you of the system. There would two things I would add to augment what Cindy said. Not only is it's going to be a portal or a one place. Now a lot of the courts have a website, but law enforcement has to go to multiple places if they want to see that judicial information. That's part of the goal of it, too. And secondly, there are some proactive pieces that are being built into it as well, other than it just being a static search. The first piece being we have Children's Services. They've submitted their foster care parents a list to the CJIS database, and when someone has an interaction with the database, a new charge, it's shooting them an email. A second piece that we're working on that isn't finished yet involves with probation as well. If a probation officer will be able to go in and identify that as their person, and if that person has an interaction with any of the counties, whether it even be just a simple speeding ticket, it will notify them via email. That's a piece. So it's not only a static piece, but we're also going to the goal of trying to become a dynamic or, you know, organic type thing. Do I just hit the start button on this? Mm-hmm. Which one should I pick? VCR component dock. Okay. I probably should have warmed that up, but okay. What you'll notice first, it is a secure login type situation. It was developed for law enforcement and social service agencies, but while it is, all the information coming from the various agencies is information that is public on the various different websites. There still is a login to monitor the activity. It is similar in notion to like a Leeds terminal and that sort of thing. It's not going to be a situation where it is a public site. So I just wanted to show you that it did have a login. We had a couple examples that we had that when we were validating the data for our court here in the Common Pleas Court, that they also had interactions with Dayton, you know, Montgomery County. And I believe as we add more jurisdictions, I think that we will actually even see more. You can do it by Social Security number or date of birth. The social service agencies that have a login, they're not given the availability to search by Social Security number, but there's a screen that they can put the Social Security number in, and the system will say, yes, that is the person you're looking for. So they have to do a Social Security number validation where law enforcement can go straight to the Social Security number. It's a simple web interface as far as searching. You'll see the different identities down at the bottom here. Date of birth and Social Security number. Some of those, it has to be an exact match for it to be with a relationship to the identities. So it lists those interactions, and we can click here on the individual's name. You'll see there that it has a booking shot, all of his characteristics, his last known address, alert information as far as whether that person has a current warrant in the system. It also, if they have a current, if they're active on probation, that right now active on probation is just Montgomery County. We're going to be submitting the Butler County data as well. You'll see down here at the bottom, we have all these different interactions. You'll see where it says Butler FMC. That's Fairfield Municipal Court where they brought, he's had interactions there. He's had interactions with Butler County Common Pleas, the Montgomery County Jail, Kettering Municipal Court, Dayton Municipal Court, and area courts in Montgomery County. Okay, so we see that regional characteristics with him right away that he's been in trouble in multiple places. For instance, if we want to see some of the other case information, we click the case number. We can see here that if there is some local interaction, these are his charges. The jail history right now is coming from Montgomery County, but I know right now they're putting in place Greene County Jail, and hopefully at some point we'll also incorporate our sheriff's data as well. as far as those, all of these also have links into, like here, go to the local court website. What'll happen there is it'll open up a underlying window, and then it goes local. Say, for instance, someone wants just to go look at the local information related to that, you know, related to that person, they can do so. We also have address history. the various addresses that this individual has had with the different courts along those lines. Looks like you Waycross, Sharonville, that's over in Sharonville. We have the arrest history. And these right now are the arrests from Montgomery County as far as their police. We can also cases, that's similar to what we came in on the summary screen with the various charges and the ORC and the various charge offenses levels. We have case events, say for instance someone had done an investigation. You can see here that Judge Campbell in Fairfield, Judge Nastoff here in our Common Police Court, and then there's, I think, Froelke, it was Montgomery County. Maybe somewhere else.
Fairfield,
okay. So we have, you see here the different hearings, you know, Judge Spaeth, the different hearings that he's had, and would give you more information about, you know, is he currently have a court case that he needs to show for and that sort of thing. We have the charge history. That there's a lot of emphasis on what the charge was as far as the different charging, and we can see here a conviction or dismissal and those types of things. We have DV charges. These DV charges are related to Section 29, 1925. The part of the goal of the CJIS project was initially was to reduce domestic violence. So every system, every part of the system where he has a domestic violence, it'll show up in there, as well as help with the reporting on that. The ID history is where that individual has the different interactions. Let's not hit it good. There it goes. As far as the physical identifiers, they could check to make sure that those had all matched in the various interactions where he had that. Jail contacts. Now, this right now is booking information from the Montgomery County Jail. Like I said, they're going to be trying to add jails in each of those counties that we mentioned. For law enforcement officers, as far as investigations, you'll see here they had some emergency contacts. If law enforcement was looking to get more information, to find out about that individual, they could potentially contact their emergency contacts out of that. Jail history, that would be the booking information, and probation violation, so on and so forth, who the agency was. This mugshot one is fairly interesting. They have different mugshots. You can see here, you could see if it had a long interaction with the justice system. And like I said, these are just booking photos from Montgomery County. You can see, like, there's what he looked in 2000. There's what he looked like in 2002. And then that's the most current one. So if you had a person that had an interaction over 15 years, you could see, you know, dynamically how that had changed. Protection orders. These are civil protection orders or DV protection civil orders. A lot of times law enforcement, those will not appear on their NCIC records check, at least in a real-time way. So that's what those are coming from. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. We went through it real quickly.
But do you keep questions? Track of who a person's attorney was?
A person's attorney, I don't believe, is on this. That's part of the reason you would go to that local, you know, let me.
If you drill down.
Let me look here.
The court that sent the record, it should be in that court.
Right. I don't think it's going to be on the CJIS part of it.
Pulled up into the CJIS application, but yeah. It allows you to drill down and go out.
Might
to
be on the
submitting court record.
Yeah.
It should be there.
Right. Yeah, we're not tracking that, but you could go. That's the link part of it.
I think this is quite impressive with this much information, and that's only between Common Pleas Court and Fairfield Municipal Court contributing. We really think we're going to get a lot of use. We're surprisingly full, you know, data on these individuals once all the lower courts and Hamilton and Middletown Court join. We kind of got the I-75 corridor where some of the guys travel up and down.
Cindy, this is really marvelous on so many levels, and obviously for Children's Services background so we can find out information on the foster parents and so on. But you are to be commended for taking the lead on this, and we certainly do appreciate all your effort and that of your staff. So it's glad to see this come together.
And make a motion.
You guys have anything to add to this?
Yeah, I would just like to add that Commissioner Furman was the first one to push this due for Children's Services, and I think this is just the fruits of that initial recommendation, and shouldn't go unnoticed. And obviously, Cindy, you've done a great job, and with the help of a lot of the judges and courts, and especially Judge Wall, who I think is probably one of the top of the tops. I'm happy to support this project.
Thank you. We're not done. We have the sheriff's office to integrate courts. And mm-hmm. area courts, so we'll be back.
Great.
To ask you for help if we need it, or to report progress if things go along well. But I think we're probably 50% there in this county right now.
Yeah, this would be tremendous for, because a lot of times we'll have somebody show up, like first time in Hamilton, first time in Middletown.
Yeah.
It's got a history someplace else that we don't know about.
Yeah.
And that's an awful lot to do. You know, there's a bad character showing up for the first time as far as looking at the municipal court standpoint. This is just absolutely.
You've seen your share of those.
Yeah. That's going to be a wonderful tool for us once
absolutely.
We get it implemented. I can't thank, like I said, I want to thank Cindy enough. I want to thank this commission as well.
I'd like to make a motion at this time to approve the matching grant, the $20,000.
Second.
Great. Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thanks.
Derek, will I meet with Bob Lowry to find out how that's going to happen? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Judge. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
On to Kim Coiner, please. Is that pronounced correctly? Coiner?
That's okay. It's been about 3 years since the last time I was here when I was with Fairfield, so it's been a while. Deja vu to be back in this building. Thank you for giving me some time today.
Sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to stay out of your way. I don't want to trip either. Yeah, we're here to talk about a high-tech business incubator. I think Derek is indicating might be within your packet. I am currently the Economic Development Director in Warren County, but I'm actually here with my Port Authority hat on. I'm also the Executive Director of the Warren County Port. So I just wanted to make that distinction of who I'm here with today. Wanted to talk with you briefly about a high technology incubator project that the Port Authority has taken on in February to start really looking at some needs that we see in the Butler and Warren County market. About 8 months ago, I was approached by some officials from MTech, which is a Wright Center of Innovation in Dayton, working with a lot of clients in both the Butler and Warren County areas that could benefit specifically from a high technology business incubator. Their concept coming to me was not your traditional business incubator like you would find here in Hamilton that works with a variety of businesses, but really focused on the high tech market. I'm looking at companies such as Amlin Pharmaceuticals, Prasco Pharmaceuticals in Warren County, Procter & Gamble, the large gamut of companies that are in this region that could benefit from these types of services. It was about a 6 or 7 month process where we started talking to private individuals in the market as well as some other funding partners, specifically the City of Middletown, about this concept in the Atrium Medical Complex, and quickly realized that the private sector was telling us there was the demand, but we weren't quite convinced what it was. So the next step that really we decided to explore was the concept of this feasibility study, to hire a consultant, actually one that's here in our backyard, and Melissa Taylor is here from KMK Consulting as well, to help us really validate what is the need in this Butler-Warren County market, which we're hearing really is seen as one market, and how can we differentiate ourselves from services being offered in Cincinnati and Dayton, yet complement what's already out there so that we're really truly an asset in this sort of regional technology commercialization market. To date, we've had private sector and nonprofit sector involvement in the feasibility study, been able to leverage about 80% or so of the funds needed for the study. And I'm here today to ask you to join both Warren County and our list of funders in this study to move forward, to really validate what that need may be and what the product could be. Specifically thinking of something along that I-75 corridor. As you'll recall, we partnered together last year on an I-75 corridor study. And as we continue to advance that work, looking at locations that sort of span that Butler-Warren County marketplace to hopefully locate something of this nature, but again, that's subject to what the feasibility study would come back with. So I'm trying to keep it brief. I have a white paper and a copy of the study that you guys can see, and I also have the consultant here with me to answer specific questions.
Commissioners, I also enclosed in your packet the proposed funding sources. Warren County Foundation, $500. LCNB Foundation, $1,000. City of Middletown, $2,500. Al Nayer, Inc., $2,500. Duke Energy, $2,500. I'll give a copy of this to the press. I'm reading it kind of fast. Atrium Medical, $5,000. Warren County, $5,250. Otterbein Home, $25,000. And they're asking from Butler County, $5,250. Also included in your packet a letter of support from William Murphy, Economic Development Director, asking for your commissioner's support. And the closing sentence is, we appreciate the county's support of this and other economic development issues in the city of Middletown. So,
although we don't see this solely as the Middletown project, you know, this is really something that we're looking to encompass both counties as we move forward, and it is not a foregone conclusion that the city of Middletown would be the location of choice.
Sounds like there's a lot of potential here, and I personally would like to be part of that. You guys have anything?
I think we ought to ask our economic director, Brian Coughlin, your thoughts.
I think it's worth the several years back, we kind of kicked it around for a minute, but funding issues are the main problem. But I think the $5,250 nominal price of admission to be part of the study.
Greg?
Yep. Fine with me.
So we need a motion then?
Make a motion that we contribute $5,250 to the proposed funding for Butler Warren High Tech Incubator Study.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
And Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Before you leave, while we got you here,
sure.
I've got a question about, it's not pertaining to this, but it's a question it's a question that I've been pondering for a while. Just give me a short version, but tell me how you're the economic development director of Warren County, correct?
That's correct.
And you're also run the Port Authority. Tell me how that works. Tell me how that comes together and does it work, and is it something you'd recommend?
For us, it was a necessity. The Warren County Port Authority is a year old, and the commissioners wanted to start the Port Authority in the county, and we had no funding. So it was sort of a matter of necessity, who can we get to run it? Well, certainly it dovetails with our economic development efforts. So they asked if I would be willing to give my time to do both. It's been a great first year. My Port Authority is starting to really get some business, and it takes a lot more of my time probably than really what I do from the county side. I'm fortunate I've got a really good staff on the county side. I wouldn't recommend it long term. I certainly wouldn't give it up at this point, and at the time where I have to make that decision, it will be a tough one for me because my projects so well fit into both entities. But as we move forward, just the timing involved and the staff time, it's really two full-time jobs. But I think that for a period of years, it makes sense to get things really started, you know, especially in this market. As you look at, you know, Butler County has a port, Warren County has a port, Cincinnati, Hamilton County has a port. How are we all working together and how are projects kind of shaping out? And I think that's still unknown as we go forward. It would be a risk for my commissioners, I think, to fund a substantial amount into the port at this point because it's so new.
So. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Yeah, let's go to communications, please.
First would be approved minutes from the last meeting. Approved mileage reimbursement increase to the state level of 50.5 cents per mile. And boy, it'd be nice if that's all we have to do. Under environmental services, award contract for water replacement to utility services apply and execute contract. Approve one-year contract extension with PLG Utility Restoration and waive permit fees for the 08 entitlement programs.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. I have one other issue here. I'd just like to mention the fact that Westchester has received a bond rating upgrade. They have received an upgrade to AA1. Which is magnificent in my estimation. I think they've really done marvelous things to accomplish that. So I just wanted to probably extend our congratulations to them.
Yeah.
Great.
I think it's good. That helps them. It helps Butler County. So I think it's a great thing.
Okay. And,
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Galavec?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yep.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.